All right. Hey, folks, good evening. Welcome back once again. Another Wednesday night Bible study. I appreciate so much you coming together at this time every Wednesday night, and we can just sit around and study the Bible together and pray as well. The prayer request, the prayer bulletin has been put online for you to take a look at. I did want to highlight several of the prayer requests that are on there. We had mentioned the Sunday night, but please be in prayer for Dolly. We've been praying for her, for a long time now. And ever since her initial stroke, it's just been one thing after another. We announced the details of that Sunday night as far as what the newest prayer request is for her. Go ahead and check out that prayer bulletin. Just remember, keep lifting her up in prayer, and Bob and Mary and Dolly's husband, as this thing just continues to go on and on for them. They really need prayer that God would sustain them and continually every day, that they would realize those new mercies that he promises in his word. And then please also pray for the family of Linda Richards. We had a beautiful memorial service for her this morning. And also pray for Ruby and Neil and Carolyn with the passing of Charlie here this week. So just keep those folks in your prayers. And remember, pray for each other as well. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer right now. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the comfort and the peace that you have available to us. There are times in life when it seems we need it more than others. And I pray for those, Lord, that right now are going through a dark and dangerous valley, that they would realize that you're there with them, that they would focus on you and lean on you as they go through this. Thank you, Lord, for this church family as we continue to do things a little bit differently because of the virus situation. And I'm just so thankful for this family that sticks together and continues to be faithful to each other and to this ministry. Help us, please, as we study your word together tonight, that it would be a help to us, the truths that we learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter number 4, Ephesians chapter 4. And as you can see on your screen there, we're going to be talking about being unforgiving, another stronghold that we can sometimes have. And remember, a stronghold, it's just a piece of real estate in our mind that we allow Satan to have when we continue to entertain thoughts that do not line up with God's word. So let's tear that apart, flip it all back around. The way to prevent strongholds is to combat thoughts that don't line up with God's word. We combat them with God's word, casting down imaginations, as Paul told us to do. So here we are tonight looking at a specific stronghold. Here's a question to start with. Why does revenge feel so good? It does, doesn't it? It does give us some sense of satisfaction. Whatever type of revenge it is, whatever level it reaches, however subtle it may be, it just feels good. Our flesh craves revenge, to get back at someone, to make them hurt, like they made us hurt, perhaps, to make them look bad because they made us hurt or did something that we didn't like. And so at the very least, we're going to make them look bad. Perhaps even very subtly, we go about doing that. How do we do that, by the way? Well, it's when someone hurts us and we tell everyone about how mean, horrible, and rotten that person is for what they did to us. We're making them look bad. Why do we do that? Well, the Bible says, Jesus says, cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. And if we say, yeah, Jesus is enough to take all of our burdens, then why don't we do that? Because telling other people on some level, it makes us feel good to make them look bad. Ephesians chapter 4, if you're there, look at verse 32 with me. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, the key to this verse is not forgive one another. It's what comes after it. Just like God has forgiven you. Yes, we have this command to forgive one another, love one another, bear one another's burdens. But this one here, we can't read it as just another one of those one another commands that God gives us. He clarifies it. Forgive others like God forgives us. So, how has God forgiven you? Completely. And he's done so freely, meaning he doesn't expect us to jump through any hoops. He doesn't expect us to prove ourselves first before we forgive or before he forgives us. He doesn't expect us to make amends first or to apologize a certain way first before he forgives us. No, he forgives. Now, it's not conditional. It's immediate. It's complete. And it's permanent. We never have to go back and get re-forgiven for something he's already forgiven us for. It's done. It's gone. It's under the blood. It's as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. So, starting off, let's ask ourselves, is this how we forgive others? Well, let's ask this another way. Have we forgiven everybody this way? I changed it up for a reason. Is this how we forgive others? So easy for us to just say yes. But wait a minute. Have we forgiven everybody that way? You know, that one, maybe two people in the past. Maybe it's only two, but have we forgiven everybody this way? This is how God is telling us to forgive. And keep in mind now, we're talking about strongholds. This could be a stronghold for us. Not for us, actually a stronghold against us, because the strongholds we're talking about are those that Satan sets up in our mind. And once he gets a stronghold, he's then able to launch operations, attacks into other areas of our life from that one stronghold. God commands us to forgive in this way. He doesn't command us, keep in mind, he doesn't command us to do something that is impossible. So, we can do this. So why don't we? Here's what Dr. Ouellette thinks. He says, our problem is that our thinking about forgiveness is wrong. Because of our lack of understanding about forgiveness, bitterness is perhaps one of the most accessible areas for Satan to get in and start acquiring real estate in our minds, folks. To get freedom from this, we need to rewire our thinking. Let's consider this root of bitterness there in your outline. Roots are sometimes hard to find. Most of the time you can't see them. They're underground, right? Literally, roots are underground. Now, when we're talking about the root of bitterness, stemming from a past hurt or an offense, Time has a way of masking it over, so we don't even realize it's there anymore. See, over time, we tend to get very accomplished at putting on the smile, you know, tolerating, kind of moving on, but without forgiveness. And as time rolls on, that unforgiveness, which was there and we never dealt with because we covered it up with smiles and toleration and things like that, the unforgiveness is still there. Satan has some real estate, and we can become masters at hiding our feelings. And we do this, don't we? I've been amazed sometimes over the years when I find out someone has serious issues with me. And just the week before, they were shaking my hand and just praising God with me. It's like, wow. See, we can become masters at hiding our feelings to the point that we no longer recognize the unforgiveness. What are some classic signs of this? How about this statement, this thought? I'm not bitter. I'm just deeply hurt. I've forgiven them, but I can't forget. Now, both of those statements, it's possible that both of those statements are true. We can be not bitter, just extremely hurt. We can have forgiven, but we just can't forget. Those can be true. We can forgive and still be deeply hurt. And let's just face it, we can't create amnesia in our minds where we just forget something. Impossible. But if we don't really understand forgiveness, it's possible to have a stronghold of unforgiveness. Let's look at that, the other side of that coin. Some people believe that forgiveness is something that it's not. Okay, here's what I mean by that. Some people can assume that to forgive someone, if I've truly forgiven them, it means letting people continually mistreat. That's not forgiveness, folks. That's called enabling. Here's a quote for us. Forgiveness is giving up on getting even. That's what forgiveness is. It's giving up on getting even. So when someone sins against us, we will, if possible, confront them. That's Matthew 18. Okay, Matthew 18 just lays it out so clear. I'm glad that truth wasn't taught in Proverbs or Psalm in one of the poetry books, because this is clear, literally laid out for us. If someone hurts you or offends you, you go to them first, no one else. So when someone sins against us, if possible, we confront them and try to restore the relationship. And if they're not willing, we will not try to inflict hurt on them or try to damage their testimony by telling everybody what they've done. What do we do? Well, what did Christ say to do? Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that mistreat you. Here's why this is so important. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, it says this: looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Perhaps a familiar verse for many. Looking diligently, lest any man should fail of the grace of God. In other words, just that part of the verse is saying this: see to it, no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Do we understand just that part right there? We receive grace from God in salvation, don't we? Of course, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's our faith in the grace that God gives us. God gives us grace at that time of salvation to have faith, to believe. But we also, after that point, we get grace after salvation. We get grace from God for living the Christian life. Folks, we can't live this Christian life without His grace. And if we're not getting His grace, we're in trouble. It makes the Christian life so much harder. Looking diligently, lest any man fail to obtain the grace of God. Without that grace, we struggle in other areas of our lives. To live in that way that pleases God. They're connected and we don't even realize it. So what could cause us to lose the grace? We're getting this warning here at Hebrews 12:15, the first part of it. Looking diligently, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. What could possibly cause us to not be getting grace from God for our daily living? Well, that comes in the rest of the verse. Here it is. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So, forgiveness or unforgiveness is at its root a heart problem. And the longer it's there, the stronger the stronghold. It is bitterness that keeps us from getting grace this morning when we woke up. Well, I've forgiven everyone. Remember, we can mask our unforgiveness, and over time, we don't even realize that we never forgave that person. And just because it's been 3 years doesn't mean that Satan packs his bags and leaves his stronghold and goes somewhere else because, you know, his lease has expired. No, my friend, when Satan gets real estate in your mind, it's his. And the only thing that removes him is not his boredom. It is the word of God that gets it out of your mind. That root of bitterness, Hebrews 12:15, keeps us from getting the grace of God. How do we know it's there? Here's number one. Sometimes unforgiveness is evidenced by ongoing strained or broken relationships. Now, the broken relationships, they may be because of envy or even jealousy. What is envy? Envy is wishing you have what someone else has. Now just let that sink in for a moment. Someone else has something or someone, something, whether it's a material thing or an intangible thing, someone has something that you wished you had. That is envy. Jealousy is wishing someone didn't have something because you don't have it. Esau, he's an example of this. His brother Jacob stole his birthright. It was rightfully his. Stole his inheritance. And what does he do? He plans to kill his brother because of it. The mother finds out. Jacob takes off. Jacob is gone for over 20 years. When he returns, a lot has changed. Jacob now has many children, much wealth, and when he returns, he finds his mom has passed away. Esau had actually left home, so to speak. He's married, has children and wealth. He actually moved some 75 to 100 miles away. Now, based on modes of transportation during that time, it's very unlikely that he would go back and visit his parents for the weekend. Jacob takes off 20 years earlier. Esau, at some point after that, he took off, leaving his mom died, leaving his dad to care for himself. There's, in fact, remember this? Rebecca loved Jacob. The dad, Isaac, he loved Esau. Esau was his favorite. Esau loved his father. His father was close to him. And after he lost his inheritance, he took off, never came home again. No record of it. In fact, there's no record of him returning until it was to bury his father. Possibly 20 years. Unforgiveness. We have to be careful because sometimes unforgiveness is evidenced by ongoing strained or broken relationships. Do you have those in your life? Any that are strained that you haven't tried to restore? Number two, unforgiveness is often revealed by suspicion and lack of trust. Now, this one is interesting. This is something that unforgiveness, unforgiveness does this to us. It's not that we mistrust the person that hurt us. That's almost a given, a natural. We mistrust them. They're possibly going to do it again. But here's what unforgiveness does in us. It warps our view of others. We don't just look at the person who did the deed in a mistrusting way, but we begin to view others in the same way. We tend to think the worst of other people. They may have had nothing to do with the past hurt, but we judge them negatively. For example, if this person hurt me, why wouldn't someone else do the same thing? If this person treated me this way, well, someone else must be doing that too. And we start thinking that everyone else is out to hurt us. And we start looking for those hidden agendas and ulterior motives in what they said or how they said or what they did or how they did something. And even in the way they look at us sometimes. Part of forgiving like Christ is being open, accepting, and believing the best in others. We can't miss this in the Bible, folks. God is all about forgiving and restoring from the beginning to the end. Are we like Christ? People are going to hurt us in life. But every time we refuse to forgive, it gets a little more difficult to trust even those who haven't hurt us, because the stronghold gets bigger. So part of forgiveness is also seeking to restore others to Christ. So now let's take and rewire our thinking here tonight as we finish this up. The only way to rewire our thinking is to apply God's word. So the verse we started with, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is the tools, the sword that we need to have memorized in our minds. Spend some time with the verse this week. 15 minutes a day. By the end of the week, you'll have it memorized. Just read it over and over and over. But what about when someone keeps offending or hurting us? Well, then we would now throw in Matthew 18:21. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus told him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7 times. In verse 35 of this same chapter of Matthew 18, there's a very convicting verse. Before we look at that, let's back that off, please. Okay, so there's that very convicting verse. I was just teasing you with a little glimpse of it. I wasn't quite ready for it yet. There's a parable that Jesus gives. There's a parable that Jesus gives right after he told Peter 70 times 7 times. And it's the parable of the ruler who had a servant, owed him so much money he couldn't repay it. The ruler forgave him. And then the servant turned around and found another servant that owed him a couple of bucks, let's say, and wouldn't forgive him and threw him into debtor's prison, so to speak, until he could repay it. And, well, Jesus then gave us verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So when that first servant wouldn't forgive his fellow servant, a friend of his, for a couple of bucks, the ruler found out, came in, took that servant who had been forgiven for everything, and threw him over to the tormentor, so to speak. And then Jesus says, this is what God will do when you don't forgive everyone their trespasses. Folks, we're talking about more than just a little minor dislike I have for someone because of something they did. Oh, it's just a little stronghold. Look at what Jesus said here. My Father will do this to you if you don't forgive your brother their trespasses. Now, here's something that we understand about unforgiving people. Unforgiving people are generally unhappy people. But this verse also tells us that unforgiving people are unforgiven people. They may still walk around with their smiles on their face. They may come in here to church and just raise their hands and praise God and have all the right words and talk about how wonderful God's grace is. And they are a walking unforgiven person because they're holding unforgiveness in their heart. Here's a sobering way to look at this. If you were to take all of the sins that you've committed. Sometimes people like to do this with their view of salvation and getting into heaven. All my bad things, all my good things on a scale. And as long as the good things outweigh the bad things, I'll be in heaven. Well, God says, no, that ain't it. That's not how it works. But let's take that scale back out. Let's take all of the sins that you've ever committed against other people. Take all of those sins and put them on one side of the scale. And then on the other side of the scale, you're going to put Take all of the sins that people have done against you, okay? All of those hurts and offenses that people have hurt you with. Then on the other side, you're going to take all of the sins that you have committed against God. So you've got all the sins that you've committed against God, all the sins that people have committed against you. Which side's going to be heavier? Obviously, the one that has your sins against God on. And yet, God forgives them all. All of those. And we have these right here. There's some that we just won't forgive. And yet, God has forgiven all. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, a foothold, a stronghold, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul here is referring to Satan getting a stronghold of unforgiveness in our life. The forgiveness that we have received from God is what he's referring to in here. It gives us the responsibility to forgive others. If we don't, Paul states it, Satan gets a foothold. Colossians 3 and verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's another command. If anyone has a quarrel against us, the last nine words of that verse, take them and apply them to your relationships. Even as Christ forgave me, so also do I forgive this person or that person. Is there a relationship that you need to fix? Is there a friend that you need to forgive? Take care of it today. We have too much to do for God to be hampered by unforgiveness. Our world is a scary place. There is so much going on. By the way, this is Satan's world, in the sense that he's in control right now. He's the prince of the power of the air. We're on enemy territory. We cannot afford to be here in enemy ground without getting God's daily dose of grace for our daily living. And yet, if we have unforgiveness, we're not getting that grace. We've seen, folks, that we really don't have the option of cutting someone off and expecting that it won't affect other areas of our lives. God's word has revealed that. And in reality, Satan will use that piece of real estate in your mind to attack other areas of your life. One of the things that Satan tells us, and we believe, is this: refusing to forgive somehow protects us. The truth is, we continue to be affected by it when we refuse to forgive. Someone once said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and then waiting for the other person to die. And I think that's pretty accurate. Our verse tells us why to forgive. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We forgive because God forgave us. The other person doesn't deserve it. I understand that. Neither did we. We forgive, as that verse says, for Christ's sake. God forgave us because of Christ. We forgive others because of Christ. When we do that, we're recognizing that we don't deserve forgiveness either. Like that servant who was forgiven everything and then didn't forgive someone else. Let's pray together. Father God, help us. This is a tough one, Lord. To forgive people that have hurt us. Sometimes the longer it goes on, the more time passes, the harder it is to forgive. Whatever the offense, you command us to forgive. You've told us why to forgive. You told us what happens when we don't forgive. If we don't forgive that other person, we lose. We're the loser in that. God, help us to break down this stronghold. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I hope to see you again Sunday morning. Have a great rest of the week.